I always enjoy coming to these meetings. It's always wonderful to gather with the Lord's people in such a capacity and be able to worship with each other, though we are separated by time and space and don't get to see each other as often as we would like. This afternoon, I have a few thoughts in my mind. I would like to take us back to simplicity. I want to get just as basic as I can. I think it's profitable for us at periods in our lives, even in our churches, in our personal lives, to just come back to what's the root of everything. Because I think time has a weird way of dealing with us as God's children. Sometimes things that should be precious to us kind of seem to lose their value. You know, if I was a king and I was walking around in a palace made of pure gold like Solomon, after a while, those walls would kind of lose their shine. They would kind of lose their glamour, and I think as God's people, things lose their shine. And I think that we need to be reminded just how precious these things are. Many years ago, a man by the name of Moses climbed a mountain that was covered in smoke. And there God did something amazing. God reached out and penned words. God gave Moses two tables of stone. And Moses was commanded to take those tablets of stone and to keep them preserved in the ark. We think of how wonderful that is. How spectacular that is. That something that God actually wrote on, man was in possession of at one time. But through what I believe was providence, it has been lost. At another time, we read of a king that was sitting in his chamber and a hand appeared and wrote. We find in Scripture where God wrote words. But I want you to notice something. When God used his finger to write, have you noticed it always had to do with law or judgment? Have you noticed that? When Moses was in contest with the Egyptians, it came to a point in the challenge where the magicians would replicate something that Moses did, and then Moses would come forth and he would do something else by the hand of God, and then the magicians of Egypt would come back and replicate it, and it got to the point where they could no longer copy what Moses was doing, and he said, "This has to be the finger of God." Judgment. But when Paul is writing to young Timothy, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. When God gave us words, he didn't physically pin them down with his finger. He breathed them. When you find God's finger, you find justice. But when you find God's breath in Scripture, what do you find? Life. Life. It's precious. God's words are precious. Job says in Job 23, verse 12. He says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Listen now, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Listen, brothers and sisters, there are things in our lives like food that we have just enjoyed that are very necessary to your survival. If you don't eat, you don't live. It's necessary. When you get up in the morning, you eat. At lunchtime, you eat. And before you go to bed at night, you eat. And that is our routine every day, day in and day out, because it is necessary. But Job says that I have esteemed the words of his mouth, the words of the Lord, the words of God, as precious and more necessary than my food. I have counted them of more immense value than that which physically supports my body. That is powerful. Look at the view that Job has of the Word of God. He doesn't devalue it. That's what we have today. Unfortunately, we live in a society that devalues the Word of God. And because of that, it is easy for us to fall into the trap of devaluing it ourselves. Do we realize that not even 1,500 years ago, not even that long ago, the Word of God was restricted to the clergy? People like you didn't have it. You didn't get to take it home. You didn't keep it by your pillow. And that which was written was not written in a language you could understand. It was in Latin. Do you think we take what we have for granted? You know, I'm able to take this, and I'm able to pick it up first thing in the morning. And I'm able to pick it up before I go to bed at night. And I'm able to pick it up right after I eat lunch. Anytime I feel the inclination to pick it up, I can pick it up. There's not anywhere I go today that I don't have the Word of God within walking distance. That's been a routine of mine simply because I found it necessary for my spiritual strength. There have been times in the day where I just needed to read, because I was struggling with something. I had to have it close by. At other times, it's good to have there in case you need to talk to somebody about the Word of God. It's convenient. But you know, sometimes we just take it for granted, and instead of using it as it was intended for to be read, we neglect it. We begin to neglect ourselves. Now I want you to go and start missing meals. It'll get you. That's right. Job says, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." If it's necessary for you to eat, dear child of God, I want you to think of this. It's more necessary for you to feast your soul on the Word of God. I want us to look at what Peter tells us. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." That is a command. That's something that Peter tells you to do. Peter tells you to desire the Word of God as a newborn baby desires his mother's milk. You are to desire the Word of God as a newborn baby desires his mother's milk. I've raised two children so far, or beginning to. I'm in the process. Let me put it that way. I'm in the process of raising two children. And I don't know everything about it, but you know what? I've been through the infant stage twice. And I know a little bit about how a baby desires his mother's milk. I know a little bit about that. I know that the baby, when referring to his mother's milk, always has a sense of urgency. It is urgent to that little one to get his mother's milk. It's important. It's urgent to him. And if we are to desire the milk that God has supplied to us, there needs to be a sense of urgency that is awakened within our soul concerning the milk that God has given to us. There needs to be an urgency. There's also a consistency with a baby. That baby, nobody has to sit down and tell the little baby, okay, you're going to eat at this time and this time. No, that baby comes up with his own schedule. And he is very consistent. He's very consistent. He's going to let you know just about every hour and a half, yes, even on through the middle of the night, that he needs his mother's milk consistently and frequently. It's very frequent. And uniquely. When a baby's a baby, he only desires milk. You can't feed a baby food. It needs milk. It is something you need. Something you need to desire. Something you need to do with frequency and consistently. The Word of God in our generation is being abused more and more. It is. It's being twisted. It's being manipulated. It's being used for wrong means. And part of the problem is we've allowed it to happen. That may be a little harsh. If we were consistent, if we were frequent, if we held the Word of God as supreme and more than our necessary food, first off, it sends a message about value. It sends a message about value. Secondly, if you are consistent and frequent when it is being abused, you now have the capacity to correct the mistake. You can set it right. Listen, brothers and sisters, God has chosen graciously to give us His Word. This is grace manifest before you every single day. If you have a Bible, you should be reading it. Don't come to church without your Bible. I'm telling you that. Do not come to church without the Word of God in your hand. Don't do it. Now, you may think it's innocent. You may think, what does it matter? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it matters. Because if somebody stands behind this pulpit and preaches something that's out of turn with the Word of God, if you don't have your Bible, you won't notice. You won't notice. God has given us these words for our supply and for our strength. And very quickly, in Jeremiah 15, verse 16, Jeremiah says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy words was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Semicolon, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Why was it the joy and rejoicing of his heart? Because it told him that he was called by the name of the Lord God of hosts. He says, "I found thy words and I did eat them as sustenance." It's supposed to give us that strength. And then David says in Psalm 119, I love Psalm 119 because Psalm 119 is a book about the supremacy of the Word of God. And from front to back, that's all it's talking about is how good God's Word is. It says in verse 48, he says, "My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Job says, "I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Jeremiah says, "I did find his words and did eat them." And now this psalmist is saying, "I will meditate in thy statutes." Now meditation refers to digestion. Okay? So first Jeremiah says, "I find," which means I'm seeking, "I found thy words, and I did eat thy words." It is necessary for us to seek God and seek God's word in his word, because God has a word for us. And when we find that word, we need to consume that word. Don't look at it as irrelevant to you. The word of God is relevant to you. It's not irrelevant. You need to take it as relevant. This applies to me. And then you eat it. And then the psalmist says, "I will meditate." That means I will digest. Listen, when you get up in the morning, you need to read God's word. Before you go to bed at night, you need to read God's word. But that's not where it ends, okay? You need to think on what you have eaten. That means you've got to chew it up. Chew it up. Same chapter, verses 130, he says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." He said at the beginning of this psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Listen, we eat God's word, we digest God's word, and just like our body takes what we eat and puts into energy for us to move and to do, so the word of God, when it is eaten and when it is digested, it is used to direct our steps and give us strength for the days ahead. We find so many people in Christianity today that have the Word of God yet are starving to death. They're anemic. They're not getting what they need. Listen, and don't rely on the preacher to give you what you need. Yes, preachers are here to teach. We are here to edify. We are here to lead you in what is right and to expound the Word of God. But listen, it is your responsibility to eat daily. And unless we view the Word of God, listen, God breathed this book. When you hold this book in your hands, you are holding something of immense value, something precious. Because this is God's word to you. This book was written to a specific people. It's not for everybody. It is written to the redeemed of the Lord. And if you feel in your heart to fit that category, if God is telling you on the inside that you are a child of God, listen, this is God's love letter to you. This is God's revelation to you. He is going to make manifest what He has done for you, at what great lengths He has went for you, and what He has promised you in the future. God wants you to know it. And if He's taken the time to give it to you, take the time to read it. It's precious. Thank you for your kind attention.